Welcome to the Social Expedition. Questioning some digitally social motivations. Produced by Luna Webb, this is show number 41, August 12th, 2010. This is very exciting.
Why is that, Dave?
I don't know. This seems to be almost kind of like the kickoff of all kinds of camps and conferences and people getting together. And they've had their summer fun, their heat, their sweat, and now it's time to, I don't know, get back to work. You know? It's like people wish there was shorter seasons.
The season of bar camps.
Well, they have bar camps. Well, I don't know. You know, in the wintertime, it gets to be January, and people are like, oh, I can't wait till it gets hot again, and those 90-degree days look so good now. And now that they're here, the grass is looking greener on the other side of the fence. Yeah. So a little bit of that, and I think people have enough. But anyway, so right now is a good time. I think, you know, there's got conferences going on. People try and have before December. December times, you know, tends to be a bad time to have these kinds of things. And so in that, you know, we are working with being one of the founders of Launch Memphis, putting together Bar Camp Memphis, the third bar camp here, for November, which is going to be during the Global Entrepreneurship Week, and which fits right in with the whole Launch Memphis mission. And so that's going to be November 13th, that Saturday, or November the 20th. So last year we were recognized by the governor, Launch Memphis was, along with the Society of Entrepreneurs and these other organizations that held events during the Global Entrepreneurship Week.
How about that?
Yeah. So we don't have a Geek Week. That's in Seattle this coming week. I'll be there for that thing. Speaking of which, the first event is a bar camp. It's Bar Camp Seattle, of which the Social Expedition is a sponsor. Anyhow, so that's this weekend. We'll repurpose those links from the breakfast on this blog post so that you can see other bar camps going on. And we just found out today that one of our sponsors is going to be Cocoa Beans, headed up by Bina White, who happens to also be our guest today. I guess we need to follow up with Bina as far as, okay, what's the name of the company? Because we did get her Twitter handle. And of course, we recorded this earlier, like, you know, half an hour ago. So that's at BinaWhite@twitter.com, but not an address for the website. That's still underway. So anyway, she's also a professor out at the university. Very, very interesting person. She was a presenter at Tribe Camp. She does have some camp experience as a presenter and an attendee. So this is good. One of her areas of expertise is event planning. So this is good. So with that, it's just exciting to be working on these things, working with people in the community to help put them together, working with people to help kind of craft their presentations as well. So with that, we were, you know, kind of getting ready for the show today, and I got an email back from somebody who I never thought I would hear from.
Who's that, Dave?
And that was this guy named George. Here's the story. Yesterday morning, I get three emails. In fact, I was running out the door trying to get here at 12:30. And these three emails came in from the same person. One of them addressed to info@, and the other one to sales@, and the other one to Dave@. And I was a little steamed. I was a little miffed. And so rather than just, you know, like firing back to one of the emails, and I know it would just go into some bucket somewhere. So at the bottom of the email, I clicked on the unsubscribe link, because I've been trying to make more of a habit of unsubscribing to these emails that I don't have time to read anyway, even if I was interested in it. So what happened was I clicked on that link, I went to a website, and there, instead of just an unsubscribe link where I can type in my email address or the domain name and hit a button and be done with it, there was a form that wanted my name, my address, my phone number, my email address. It's like, no. I don't want to unsubscribe.
Takes you off their email address, puts you on their physical mailing list.
That's what set me off.
Do not call their call list.
That's what set me off. So I'm trying to get out the door still, you know. So I go to their website. I'm looking around for a phone number. It's like, okay, I'm going to call them. It's like, take me off your list, right? No phone number on there. I'm looking around. Finally, down somewhere, I find this phone number. And it's for, like, corporate sales. And we won't talk about the name of the company, but we'll provide a link to it, to the whole dialogue, to the email, if it's okay. But anyway, so what happened was, this guy that I talked to was some heavy hitter, VP, with this smaller company, obviously trying to get off the ground, who hired an email marketing company, evidently. So he emails the email marketing company saying, hey, here's the scoop with this, and agrees that there should not be a form that people have to fill out in order to unsubscribe. So he kind of blasts them gently in that nice corporate kind of way, and then gets the domain name taken off the list, then forwards me the email. And, you know, and when I talk to this guy on the phone, I had no idea that he was actually even writing down our domain name. I really didn't expect anything to come of this, but they did. So it's like, well, that's nice. That's customer service the way it ought to be.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully when they are on Twitter or on Facebook, they're able to respond just as arduously or steadfastly or whatever as they did over the phone. So it was kind of good for them. It was a really unique experience.
Yeah, that's a reaffirming that businesses still care.
Of course, this is all going on. I'm trying to get out the door, and there's this wildfire thing going on with this quit girl who evidently posted these. Photos.
HPOA.
Was it HPOA? HPOA. Right. So she didn't have to say anything, but evidently, as the story goes, she was a broker or some kind of like person like that in training. Transferred the phone over to the boss, and before she hung up the phone, she heard the boss say something about that girl or whatever being a HOPA.
Or a HPOA.
And so, as it turns out, it was a hot piece of ass on there.
Pardon our language.
Yeah, so in the pictures, this story unfolds, and so she wasn't too happy about that, was quitting, was going to miss everybody, and by the way, morale was down when this boss put some kind of snooping Big Brother software on the network or whatever and was watching what everybody was doing. And so she couldn't wait on her way out to share with people this guy, the boss's viewing habits, which was like some hours on TechCrunch, some hours on E-Trade or something like that. And then how many?
It was something like half the work week.
Half?
On Farmville.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
which is ridiculous. I mean, I've seen other people play Farmville, and there just doesn't look like there's that much to do.
So she's basically telling the man to shove it in still photographs on this website. And so everybody was just all kind of, she was, there's a nice word for this, and I'm not going to get it, maybe you know. It's like kind of making her a hero, you know, kind of a Robin Hood type person, you know. She's like sticking it to telling the man to go take a hike, and she's out of there, you know. She's got nothing lined up, but that's
rebel,
okay.
A rebel, you know? Or a...
Yeah. So a lot of people like start sharing this news, and this is going
on. It went
on,
viral.
You know, it did go viral for almost, well, I guess the whole day. And it wasn't probably close to about midnight or so where I started seeing that the guys that came up with it fessed up that it was a hoax. So that was really interesting.
They were perfectly done photos, though. I mean, her facial expressions were hilarious with the messages on the board.
I never even suspected it until I posted a link to this thing on my Facebook wall. And one of my Facebook buddies made a comment about it, him not buying it. So I was like, oh, okay. So after that, I went back and started looking at the photos. Like, well, who could be behind this thing? Is it the website itself? Anyway, so it wasn't real. We were gamed. It was a hoax. And luckily, it wasn't a brand behind this that we know of at this point. Just a couple of creative people putting together this little prank. But I think it kind of shines a light on a couple of things. One is that we should always kind of suspect what we see out there, things that look real that really aren't, and that we could be being gamed.
Well, I mean, what did our mothers tell us when we were growing up? Don't believe everything you see on TV, or don't believe everything you read in a book. It applies to the internet, absolutely.
I think it was a nice reminder on this other thing. But hey, so there's that. Then we have, of note, is our good buddies over at Facebook being punks to this company called Placebook, because it sounds too much like Facebook.
That's very clever, though.
You know, when
I
you
like
have,
it.
When you have 1/12 of the planet showing that you're really worried about this little startup that isn't even off the ground yet, with a name that rhymes like yours, and you're going to get all scared about it, doesn't, you know, instill a lot of confidence, I think, in a lot of other people. Plus, people like me, and I don't know, maybe people like you too, find that to be a very punky move on Facebook's part.
I find it punky. Yeah. I mean, I can see why Facebook would be upset that they didn't come up with that name first, because it's very clever.
It's a great
name.
And now
that they're thinking of rolling out their geolocation stuff here in the next couple of weeks,
yeah,
that would have been a clever little name for them to have had legal rights to.
Sure. They should buy these guys and buy the name. Like,
yeah.
Just instead of, like, threatening them with, you know, because Facebook has more more attorneys than anybody else on the planet.
But they
probably
also have more money than anyone else on the planet.
So they
probably
can get even more attorneys.
So they could be like, ha ha, clever name. You guys are clever. We'll take you.
Yeah, why not? You know, that's the whole mergers and acquisitions. That's a hot thing going on, right? Google's out there buying up companies, you know. So why not use the name, give the guys some cash, send them on their way. They can go rebuild their company under some other name or something. Anyway, it's bad. So, yeah, so we'll be checking in with Facebook, no doubt. There'll be tools that are out there that will aggregate your different location-based services. So instead of having to go to GoWall, to Foursquare, and to Facebook to check in, some neat little tool is going to let you check in everywhere.
Do you think Facebook's geolocation will render the other location-based services obsolete? I mean, because Facebook's already so huge, so I think Foursquare catches on fast, and it has caught on fast, but it's still not mainstream, and Facebook is pretty mainstream at this point.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that's going to be the push that makes geolocation mainstream, and once people are already on Facebook, I doubt they're going to go back and sign up with Foursquare and Gowalla as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think Foursquare and Gowalla will see a rapid cutoff in their growth rate.
Really?
And that Facebook geolocation will go up really fast, but then people will probably just check in there.
I think that differently on this. And part of the way I think sometimes is also the way I hope. So I'm hopeful that Facebook does not just walk out the door and just dominate the space instantly. That there's at least some battle. And really, who has the better check-in, period? And, you know, what do you get out of it? What's in it for me? Of course, people want to know.
Yeah.
But one of the problems is now all of a sudden, you're really going to be letting Facebook know where you're at. And people have a problem with Facebook privacy. Some people, but not enough. So it's a very strange kind of thing. So I'm hoping that there will be enough people who hesitate on the Facebook thing to where it's just not, they're just not instantly taking over the world location-based check-in app that's out there.
Well, this is such a downer. Let's cut over to our interview.
Was it a downer?
It's kind of a downer.
That's interesting to speculate. Yes, so hey, here comes Bina. Well, I'm very excited to have join us today Bina White, who has a very impressive title, one that I think exceeds my abilities right now. So why don't you go ahead and share us, what is your title? Titles.
Well, I have two, actually. I own my own consulting practice. It's Cocoa Beans Communications, and my title is Owner and Identity Mastermind. So
a mastermind.
Yes, I am a mastermind. And then I also teach at the University of Memphis. I'm an assistant professor in the journalism department.
Okay, and so in that over there in the journalism area, you, no doubt you're getting into some social stuff from time to time?
We are. I teach in the journalism, and in the journalism department, I teach in public relations. And so pretty much in all of our classes, we cover social media.
Okay, great. Now you are, your background is not from academia. You're from industry.
Right. No, it's not. I mean, other than I graduated, I have, you know, undergrad and grad degree. Other than that, I always wanted to teach, but I thought I would practice for a while before I got back into teaching. And now I continue to practice public relations and marketing.
Excellent. And so as Cocoa Beans, you're going to be one of the sponsors of BarCamp Memphis.
Yes.
In November. Okay. So, and then also working on making this thing happen. So helping out with actually coordinating this event.
Yes, I'm very excited about that.
We are too. Definitely. You know, you were able to attend the Tribe Camp back in March, and you had one or two presentations there. I know I was in one of them.
Yes. We did one on ghost blogging. It was really fun. Yeah.
Well attended session as well. And the way that Bar Camp kind of differs from what we did at Tribe Camp or Social Camp is that it's more encompassing of Web 2.0, a lot of various topics. So with that, you know, we're going to be looking to talk to folks in your space, because Cocoa Beans is more in the PR and marketing side of things, is it right?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And in that, there's also event creation, promotion, production. It was interesting to note, when we were talking earlier, one of the questions that you asked me was, how much were we intending on leaning on social media to get the word out about BarCamp Memphis? That's a great question, because the way that we do it, the way that we're going to do it this fall right now for BarCamp 3 in Memphis is definitely going to be much different than how we did it for the first BarCamp 2 years ago here in Memphis. So what is it from your perspective that you're seeing these days as far as a shift away maybe from people who are out there creating events, other people just like us, who maybe aren't going to be leaning so hard on the whole social media side of things?
Well, I think that there's kind of a happy blend, because between social media and traditional media and direct mail, because we're being hit with so many messages all the time. And I mean, just think about when you get home and you sort through your mail, you know, there's just a glut of information. And then when you're done sorting through your mail, then, you know, you have your phone, whether it's your iPhone or your Droid or whatever, you're getting constantly, you're checking that. And then at the end, you know, I don't know what your nighttime routine is like, but then, you know, you feed your kids and then you sit down and you've got your laptop and there's just still mail and information. You're just being hit with that. I mean, I was checking my inbox at like 11 o'clock and still just constant information. You're just being hit with it all the time. So I think if we're going to get people's attention and then just hold on to it long enough for them to decide whether or not they're going to, you know, attend and then actually attend, we're going to have to reach them in many, many different ways with a compelling enough message so that they really feel like, okay, this is something I want to go to. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think that the social media is good. And then, you know, we're going to have to touch them and maybe actually even physically touch them with something that really compels them. And they realize, okay, this is something that is meaningful to me. And this is something that's going to have information that is something that I want to, you know, be a part of and really want to go to. And I'm going to enjoy it and then come back with something that is going to really resonate with me and something that I'm going to really, you know, want to learn and participate in.
Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you this. I didn't tell you before, you know, we roped you into this thing, but...
No, I'm glad to do it.
With a name like Bar Camp, you get a lot of questions.
Yeah, because it's a bar. You know, will there be a bar? Is it a cash bar?
Those are actual questions.
Sure.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, are you going to raise the bar? I mean, there's all kinds of ways that you could interpret this.
So it's tough to explain. But hopefully, we're going to try and, you know, talk about the bar camps going on in other cities, such as the bar camp going on in Seattle this weekend, with Social Expedition is also sponsoring that. They do it. They use their bar camp in the real traditional way, in that everybody shows up in the morning who wants to present something with a presentation ready to go. You may have just built it the night before, or it may be a standard presentation that you've been given all over town, and you pretty much put it on the wall, your title of your presentation, and people vote on it. And that's the classic way that bar camps are held. You know, in Memphis, we've been kind of doing this hybrid.
Mm-hmm. I think that sounds fantastic.
You know? So, when you're talking about touching people, it's like, okay, a hug is a ticket or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a good challenge. So we are looking, actually, one of our challenges is going to be to come up with a tagline for this thing. That kind of, because we need to have one that goes along with bar camp so that people can kind of can get it. Bar Camp Jonesboro is going to be happening later on. Then there's Word Camp in Birmingham, as well as their bar camp. Nashville is going to have their bar camp like 5, or maybe bar camp 6 in October. Our bar camp is going to occur during that week of the Global Entrepreneurship Week. So there's really going to be entrepreneurial type events going on all over the country, all over the globe. And bar camp is a global thing as well. If you go to barcamp.org and check it out, you can see bar camps going on all over the planet.
I think that's really cool.
It's great that Memphis is kind of part of that global bar camp community. It's really interesting. So at the bar camp, there may be some opportunity to have some discussions about privacy, which is, you know, it's a topic that, you know, you and I had a pretty deep conversation. You've got some definite ideas floating around in your mind as far as some really good questions that people need to start talking about. And as it just so happens, that's one of the conferences I'm going to be going to in Seattle. That just addresses this kind of thing, privacy, identity, and innovation. So maybe, you know, we can take some of this passion that you've got and get some traction and get some people together to start having some of those types of conversations here in Memphis.
Yeah, I'm really hopeful that we'll be able to do that.
You know, for like young professionals who kind of need some suggested rules of the road on how they need to behave out here in the social space, because it's more wide reaching than they may think it is.
Yeah, I think it's there's a great opportunity to just discuss sort of the consequences and ramifications for some of the dialogue that takes place online that just kind of maybe goes unchecked. And it just kind of lingers, you know, it's just like an email that, you know, you send and then it just has a life long past. it's just like that grilled cheese sandwich that stays in the back of your car.
Oh.
It just kind of lives and just goes green.
Wait, you've got little kids?
I do. Yes. And they love grilled cheese sandwiches.
Oh,
but you know, the thing about those is that they stay in that Ziploc bag, and then it stays in that Ziploc bag.
I cleaned out the backseat this weekend, and I found crayons and lip gloss.
Oh my gosh. I know. But emails aren't in Ziploc bags, and I think that's the difference. They just kind of stay. And so are Facebook posts and tweets and things. And
yeah.
So I think there is an opportunity to just kind of, you know, to have that discussion about maybe some do's and don'ts, and and then, you know, just what who reads those posts and what their thoughts are and what that means.
And so with that, like the people who would be interested in participating in that kind of a conversation, you were talking earlier about getting to the folks from academia out
there,
you know, and there's been some other discussions here recently, like over at Impact Memphis, and trying to figure out Memphis currently doesn't have a great reputation in as far as a tech city goes, or a high tech city, but we have all kinds of high tech things going on here.
Sure.
And so why is that?
I think it's not just in academia, but I think in the healthcare community there's a lot of reason to bring in you know, that whole population, because there's so much going on technology-wise and with medical records. I know they have their own set of, you know, rules and regulations, but there's a lot going on with technology and,
right,
you know, and I think the business population as well. So I think there's a lot of people who could benefit from this type of information and this type of unconference, if you will.
It's very exciting. Yeah, and so the academia group, you know, they're the ones that are out there producing,
sure, you know, and educating the future population of users.
Right, and you know, there's some smart folks that are around here. We'd like to see them stay home.
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed? It's so funny. You know, because I'm not from here. I've been passing through for 25 years now.
I think you're technically from here nowadays.
It's funny. I can't say that I'm from here, but somebody, you know, who's 21, who's been here all their life, can say they're from here. But I've been here longer than they have.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Now you're here. You're from here. Give it up.
So on the locals, but so many people will go away and come back. Have you noticed that?
Right. They can't stay away.
There's something about Memphis that really draws them back.
It's magnetic.
It is.
Yeah, I think it's the barbecue and the peanut butter and banana sandwiches. Not together.
And the heat's not bad once you kind of learn how to deal with it.
I know.
You know?
It sucks you in.
If you don't mind sweating a little bit, and you know, then you know,
we all
you're
sweat
okay.
together.
Yeah. That's true. All right. So you're not the only sweaty one in the room.
No.
You know, talking about sweaty things, I got to think about lawn mowing. I'm going to go back to podcasts here, because obviously we are on one.
Yeah.
And as it turns out, you consume podcasts.
We do, yes.
You know, and
yes. My former advisor and current fellow professor emails me, Dr. Fisher. He will send me a podcast and say, mm-hmm. hey, listen to this. This is something that not just podcasts, but webinars as well. I didn't include that. Include that in our earlier conversation. Here's a webinar that you need to attend. And so he's really great about just keeping me in the loop regarding things topics that I need to stay abreast of. And so it's really nice to have that kind of circle of knowledge, you know, that is being shared about things that are current in our industry. And so. And now this person who works with me, Serafina Ginley, she's a fellow cocoa beans person.
If we do any projects together, it'll have to be Looney Beans.
Yes, Looney Beans. That's right. She'll send me information and I'll send that. So, you know, we kind of have this circle of, okay, these are topics that we need to stay current on.
Yeah.
And it's good. You know, on the weekends, I'll take some time and just allocate that to listen to podcasts.
Do you know that some people would call that?
What?
This name I've been hearing more and more of. And I first heard about it from a fellow who's out at Millington High School, but they call them these professional or personal learning networks.
Yeah. But
so you guys have this, you guys.
PLNs.
Yes. You've got this thing going on. And you're talking about the need for peer groups and whatnot, especially with things happening so fast, no matter what part of industry you're in, everything's going so fast now that the only way that you could ever hope to keep up is.
Right.
Through exchanging to have a peer group or this personal learning network like you have going on.
Well, you kind of have to have that. It's like what we were talking about earlier. There's so much information that there's no way to filter. You can't do it all yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, you have that Google, you know, the Google, what is not Google Groups, but, you know,
the reader,
the Google Reader, where, you know, you can pick. But even then, I mean, it's like 10 million things that I have to go back through and filter. I can't keep up with my Google Reader. So it's impossible.
I can't either.
So that's why I have my PLN to help me.
Because you're all curating content. You're all sifting through. You're all filtering this out and getting like the best of and sharing that with each other.
They're the best of. Those two are my best of.
So is this your first podcast that you're on?
I think so.
You'd be on iTunes also.
Oh my gosh,
just search
so
for
exciting.
Social Expedition. Yeah.
I'll search for myself. I don't really Google myself.
So, really? Yeah. Sure.
No, I don't.
Really?
My kids, my daughter did. She said, I Googled you.
Oh.
I tell my students, I said, I make them start a blog in the PR writing class, and I say, now you're Googleable. So they're Googleable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to kind of command the Dave Barger space until the JetBlue. They hired the CEO, and his name is Dave Barger.
Aww.
So now when you search for Dave Barger,
use your middle initial.
You know, I'm actually a junior, so then my dad's going to start showing up if I get too specific. Oh. Well, anyway, so Bina, tell us real quick how we can get in touch with you online. Where's a good spot?
Well, you can find me on Twitter at Bina White.
At Bina White.
Yes.
I love the way that sounds. Yeah.
BEENA.
And we're going to link to your Twitter profile on the show notes, if that works for you.
There'll be stuff about my kids.
Well, thanks. We're going to have you back out. You know, no doubt sometime with some updates and stuff. As Barcamp November starts to roll along.
Wonderful. So, I'd love to do it.
Very excited.
Yeah, I'd love to talk, so I'm happy to be here.
Well, and if you hadn't been around Bina much before, she's got a lot of energy. She's a very dynamic individual.
Certainly is.
So we look forward to working with her in the coming months and getting Barcamp together. And, you know, who knows, maybe should be involved in other kinds of things with Launch Memphis as well.
Great.
So with that, I will be, of course, over in Seattle at Barcamp this weekend in Seattle, then this conference called PII and GnomeDex. I'm taking all the video goodies and audio recorder to hopefully get some snippets of information to share back with folks here. What I'm planning on doing is, and this may make us go over a second, but what I'm planning on doing is, instead of polluting all the Facebook-type stuff and whatnot, is loading all this content that I am able to start creating onto the LunaWeb Tumblr blog, which we're getting together today. I mean, if you go there now at lunaweb.tumblr.com, you'll see just some test posts and whatnot. And you'll also actually see this email from George over there. Just posted that, as long as he says it's okay. So I've got an email out to him asking him. But anyway, so there's that. So here's a tip, though, because as we do get into the conference season, and this is worth repeating the next time out, as well as putting into the blog itself, and that is, you have a lot of connections who are not at this conference. Some small fraction of those connections may actually give a rat's butt about what you're doing in this session and that session kind of thing, and aren't going to be as enthusiastic about all your updates from your conference. So the way to do this to not pollute your friends' streams with all your conference updates, and that is, start off your tweet with the name of the conference. Like it's going to that name. So like Barcamp Memphis in November, we want people to start off their tweets with at Barcamp Memphis. That way, only the people who are subscribed to at Barcamp Memphis are going to see those tweets in their stream. Your friends. So you can let your friends know, hey, instead of kind of using the hashtag, let's make better use of this feature that Twitter put in there, you know, and direct those tweets about your conference just to that address.
Clever.
You see? Yeah, so you can jump in and out of it. It's like, oh boy, okay, that's enough. I had enough. And then you just unfollow at Barcamp Seattle or at Barcamp Memphis, and then poof. You don't get those updates anymore.
How about that?
I think there's some merit to that, and I encourage people to do that also, because you do want to share these good things back with folks who do have an interest, but at the same time, you don't want to go blasting everybody away.
Exactly.
Hey, with that, thanks for listening.
Yes, thank you very much, and we've got the upcoming breakfast on September 1st with Chris O'Connor, and then we've got Twilight Camp. It's actually a week from today, Thursday, August 18th at 5:30 at Davis Kid, and it's free and it's casual, and we hope you'll come. Thank you very much.
The Social Expedition podcast is produced at the offices of LunaWeb, a Memphis leader in web development and social media, online at lunaweb.com. LunaWeb is a full-service web agency meeting Memphis's online needs since 1995. Our theme music is The Year Before the War by Eric Maskell, available online at ericmaskell.com. For more information about the Social Expedition, including links mentioned during the podcast, visit socialexpedition.com. Thanks for listening.